I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Evan Jenkins, and you are listening to the debut, the first ever, numero uno, on What Do You Collect? First off, let me start off by telling a little bit about myself and how we got here. I have worked here for 97.1 The Ticket and WXYT for 15 years now. I've done a little bit everything here, from running a board to what I do now with being the webmaster, digital content producer, whatever you want to call it. And I also work on the Carson Anderson Show. There's one thing that hasn't changed about me from the moment I started this job at 21 years old. And that is the fact that I love to collect. Now, when I talk about collecting, I collect baseball cards, sports memorabilia, and sneakers. Those are the three big things that since I was a child, I've always loved. I'll start with sneakers, for instance. The first pair I ever saw was in fourth grade. It was the Air Jordan 5, the white and red. Actually, it was just released this past summer, so some of you might be very familiar with the shoe. And ever since I saw that big puffy tongue, I was like, I need those shoes. In fourth grade, what am I, 8, 9, 10 years old? I don't really know what I'm watching on TV when it comes to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, but I knew that those were cool, and I knew I needed them on my feet. Now, progress a couple years later, my parents weren't exactly going to buy me the Air Jordans, but I remember by the time I got to seventh grade, I convinced my mom to get me the Air Jordan 8s. They're the ones that have the straps over the tongue. They're very, very identifiable, and if you see them, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Found them in a store. They were kid sizes. We then went and looked at every store possible in order to find these Air Jordan 8s. And that was before I knew that they were the hottest sneaker around, period. We couldn't find them, so what I ended up with are the Shaquille O'Neal, the Shaq Gnosis. They are the second pair of Shaqs, not the first one that you would see in Sports Authority all the time with the big size 22. No, these are the ones that look like you're being hypnotized when you look at them. And that was like the first player shoe that I had. And understandably so, because I was going to wear my shoes and I was going to tear through them. Now we get to high school, and I finally get to wear my first pair of Air Jordans, which was the Air Jordan 13 in ninth grade. And ever since then, I will buy every shoe that I wanted as a kid. And if you are a listener of the Carson Anderson program, maybe you knew that I finally completed my collection with Air Jordans. I got the Air Jordan 11 Adapt. They're self-lacing. It's the shoe that I wanted. So I rounded out my collection there. So that's how it is with sneakers. It was Air Jordans and then, you know, player shoes. So Shaq or Sean Kemp with the Kamikaze with Reebok, or even Allen Iverson with the Reebok. You know, the Vince Carter Shocks. Those were never a big thing for me. But the athlete shoe is what first got my attention. And now one of my other collections that I like to still meddle with and hope that I can make it better are baseball cards, basketball cards, just sports trading cards in general. I love them. I've loved them since I was a kid. I remember my aunt telling me that her brother sold all of his cards and was able to put a down payment on his home, in which my dad always told me, your cards aren't worth anything, and they're only going to be worth what somebody would pay for. Wasn't until I got older, wasn't as naive, that I understood exactly what he was telling me. But it feels like ever since the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, that hit hit the beginning of this crazy world we live in COVID, the trading card industry has boomed. It's soaring. And I don't know if it's directly towards that documentary. I don't know if it has to do with COVID and people having more time, so maybe they're looking at eBay. What I really think it has to do with are people around my age that want to buy the things that they didn't have as kids or weren't able to get as kids, but now we have expendable income and we can afford it. So that's why I think that it's a huge booming industry, but it also has to do with, you know, celebrities are getting into the cards. And as soon as you see a popular person get into it, then the followers will get into it. And I don't know if it's good or bad for the industry. Right now, it's extraordinary for the industry because you're seeing the likes of a Mike Trout rookie card going for $1 million and Michael Jordan rookie cards, you know, growing up at the 86 Fleer, you always looked at them in Beckett Monthly and you're like, I wish I could have that card. Now that card graded at an 8, which isn't perfect, it's still in very good condition, will fetch you around $13,000. Think about that for a moment. A card from 1986, $13,000. It's wild, right? Talking about sports cards, it gets me invigorized. Like, I am pumped to talk about these. And so that's why I wanted to start this podcast, because I've always loved them. And I want to talk to you about them. I want to understand maybe some of the things that I don't understand when it comes to trading cards. For every player, there is a set rookie that is the hotness, right? For instance, Tiger Woods, his documentary aired on HBO this past weekend, the first part. And his rookie cards went from, let's say, at average, a 10 would sell for $400 on eBay. They are now selling for over $1,000. And that is in a matter of a month. But his rookie card is a 2001 Upper Deck card. Tiger Woods made his debut in the PGA Tour in 1997. So some of you might be thinking, why 2001? Because that was the first card that was printed for Tiger Woods. Now, other people will also look at that set and say, well, there's like four or five Tiger Woods cards in this 2001 Upper Deck series. Well, the card that the collectors want is number one in the set, and that's Tiger Woods. He's pointing at the balls. It's going in the hole. You guys all know the iconic shot. And that is the Tiger Woods rookie that people want. If you look at basketball players right now, for instance, any player that's been drafted, I would say 2016 to current day, the card that people want are Panini Prism. They're thick. They're beautiful looking cards. They're silver. And those are what a base card. So for anybody new, a base card is the card that you will get in a pack that is not numbered. It's not a variation. It is the card that was produced in mass. Well, those base cards, and I'm using air quotes, are the hot card that you want to get. And then there is a prism version, which is shiny, that will sell for even more because it's a variation of said base. And then there are serial number cards that are going to be worth even more because those cards are actually limited to the serial number that is on the cards. These probably started, I would say, in the last 20 years or so, and I think that is what really has made this boom go. Because anybody that collected trading cards in the 80s, 90s, all knew about the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, produced by Upper Deck. You've seen the card. You've probably touched the card. Heck, for all I know, you have 10 of them sitting in a box right now. Well, Upper Deck went and produced this card unbelievably, like, I don't even know how to put it into words, but they saturated their own market by overproducing this card. That's not happening anymore. You're seeing, like, for instance, the big cards this year are Anthony Edwards in basketball, LaMelo Ball. The base cards aren't going to sell for much, $10, maybe $5. But you get these serial number cards where they're numbered one of ones. Those are like the holy grail when it comes to collecting. Very hard to get also. You don't see those very often out in the wild. But then there's 5 to 10 to 25 to 100 to 200 to 500 in some certain. And that's what's making the collecting great, is that you're looking. It's almost like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, right? you're looking for that golden ticket. And Kang, that also works with me on the Carson Anderson program, we've talked about it, where we are literally buying scratch-offs, right? Every time you buy a blaster box, which are 4 to 8 packs that you can get at Target, Walmart, any of those stores, Meijer, those are scratch-off tickets. So most of the time you buy them for $20. Most of the time you're not going to get anything good out of it. But for that one instance that you get that one of one, it's a jackpot, right? I'm going to get into talking trading cards, and I want to know from you guys, what do you collect? What do you want? What is missing out of your collection? Do you want to get into trading cards? These are all things that we can talk about. And my third collection is memorabilia. I love it. Now, to get true great pieces of memorabilia that you'd want to sell at auction or put on eBay, those are very expensive. For everybody to want it, there's a reason that you're going to pay that much. So I'm not sitting at home with game-worn Air Jordans. But I will go through Major League Baseball. That's usually where my memorabilia collection comes from. They have an auction site, MLB Auctions. And you can buy everything from the nameplate that's on a player's locker to the pants they wore in a game, to a rosin bag, maybe champagne, from winning the ALCS. So these are items that I have. I have a Dom Perignon bottle that was used in 2006 when the Tigers clinched the ALCS. A cork I have from 2012 when they went to the World Series. I've bought in game-worn jerseys. I've bought in team-issued jerseys. Now, the difference between these jerseys are, obviously, one is used in a game, and you can photo-match it, and MLB will authenticate it all for you. But then there's also the team-issue jersey, which these uniforms were made for the players to all their specifications, to their size, to their name, to everything. But those uniforms may never make it on the field. Or the player might not play that day and are sitting on the bench, and those are considered team-issued slash, quote-unquote, game-worn because they wore them during a game. So baseball I love. I also have a couple of bases, which I think are really, really cool display pieces. But I know people out there have crazy collections, you know, from game-used baseballs to batting gloves to bats, right? And those are the things I want to hear about from you. So over this journey that will be coming out once a week, we will talk to some of my friends that are collectors, to some people in this business that are collectors, and even people within 97.1 The Ticket that like to collect. And I want to hear about all collections. It doesn't have to be baseball cards or sport trading cards. It doesn't have to be shoes. It doesn't have to be memorabilia. It does not have to be what I like. I have a friend, for instance, that collects wrestling figures. That's also a huge industry. So these are all things that we're going to talk about. So whether you collect vinyl or you collect Kiss or you're a big, maybe you collect presidential signatures or something along those lines, whatever it is, I want to hear from you. And all you have to do is reach out to me on Twitter at King of the KC or Instagram, or heck, you can call the radio station at 248-539-9797 if you want to give me an idea. I am always willing to listen to you and to be able to expand my horizons when it comes to the collecting world. For instance, I can sit down and watch Pawn Stars and take a general interest into something that used to churn milk in the 1800s because it's interesting, it's unique. Or I'll watch Antiques Roadshow on PBS because you'll see killer Rolex watches that were bought in 1945. Now, that's just an example. I don't know if they were made then, but just to see what people have in their collection. Or maybe it's something that you don't even know that you have sitting at home in a box. Like, for instance, Christian Wood, who used to play with the Pistons, is now a Houston Rocket. His rookie card is now one of the hottest cards in all the sports trading cards. Think about that. Christian Wood's rookie card. The reason why? In 2015-16, Donruss only made one rookie card for Christian Wood. So that is why it's getting hot. I think he's averaging 20 and 10. It's going to be a big collector's item. So these are all things that I want to talk about on what do you collect, and this is the first episode, please reach out to me. Let me know what you want to hear. Let me know what you want to talk about. And also let me know what is missing from your collection. What do you want to add to your collection? What do you want to know about? And this is just a place where we have discussions. There's going to be no right or wrong. There's going to be no your collection sucks, because my collection to me might be amazing, but somebody that has way more memorabilia, Jordans and cards, might look at my collection and say, yeah, that's nothing. We're going to have fun. We're all going to become friends. And let's talk about what do you collect?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.